We were talking the other day in my office after service and reviewing some of the things that God's been doing in you and Deborah's life, and of course the work that God did in your hearts in the loss of your son. And yet it's amazing where the Lord has positioned you since that time to be in on a lot of great things that God's doing, and even the things that not only what you've witnessed abroad in Africa and places like that, but what you're witnessing right here at home. And I thought it would be great tonight for you to hear from my cardiologist. And all he does is tell me not to eat Krispy Kreme donuts and to exercise. And I've cut down on the Krispy Kreme donuts. I've got to increase the exercise side, doctor. Every time I'm before you, I go to see him. He doesn't spend much time checking me. He preaches to me basically the whole time I'm there. And then he prays over me and says, okay, and I get out there and suck it up and get tough. But why don't we just talk tonight about some of the things God's been doing in your life and through your life and some of the things you've witnessed in your life. Because I believe, as we were sitting there sharing in the office, and I told Don and Deborah this, I think you just hearing some of the things that God's doing will encourage you tonight and will strengthen your faith to know that our God is an awesome God. And He is still working miraculous things today in and through our lives. So, would you give a warm welcome for Dr. Chauncey Crandall?
Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, you want me to start, Tom?
Wherever you go, go for it.
Okay, because you know I'm an old middle linebacker.
Just leave my mic on so I can interrupt him when I want to. Thank you.
Turn it off.
Okay, leave me on.
Well, you know, I was raised in a church home, but my parents really were not believers. They didn't have a relationship with the Lord, but we went to church. We had faith in a God, but really had never given my life to Christ growing up, but I feared the Lord, didn't know a lot about it, wasn't taught that at the church we went to, was raised in a good family, wasn't abused, had a good childhood, I think. And I started going out with my wife when I was 16, I believe. And her brother went to a Billy Graham crusade, I believe in Texas, and came to know the Lord. And about a year after that, Deb, my wife, accepted Christ as her Savior. And we were dating, and she felt that I needed to know the Lord and worked on me, and I went to church and didn't really understand it. But when I was a sophomore in high school, when I was 19 years old, I went to a small country in Africa called Togo with an anthropologist, and this gentleman ran off with all my money, and there I was, left alone, 19, in a kind of a terrible situation in Africa. And actually, I was spending the night in a prostitute's den, if you want to know the story correctly. And that night, because of, you know, cultural shock and everything else, I had to get down on my knees, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. It was a turning point in my life. It wasn't that I was abused, messed up, or anything, but I knew that day I had accepted Christ at age 19 and started to love the Lord, went to church, went to fellowship, did Bible studies. We were married, believed in the Lord. We were involved in church, much like many of you. We read our Bible. My wife read it more than I did. Prayed, and even taught Sunday school at some churches. But it was never something that I was hungry for the Lord, never something that I was driven to have a relationship with God. I was saved, I know that, that happened that day, but I needed something else in my life. And I wasn't really looking for it, to tell you the truth, until year 2000, and we had a terrible phone call that day. And I can remember I was in our bedroom that night, and my wife had taken my young son to the doctor that day. He wasn't feeling well for a regular checkup, blood work. And the hospital called me, and they called me that night, and they said, Dr. Crandall, we have an alert level on some blood work. And I said, well, what's the problem? They said, well, the blood count is very high. And I immediately thought to myself, well, you know, that's not good. You know, that represents leukemia. That person isn't going to do well. And I said, well, who is the patient? And they said, well, Dr. Crandall, that's your son. And I was devastated. You know, I dropped to my knees, my legs buckled like many of you that get bad news. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I was raised in a church, but at that point, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know how to cry out to God. I was saved. I went to church, but I had never grown as a Christian. Like many of you, I had talents that the Lord had given me, but I never used those talents. I never cried on the Lord for prayer, for healing, for miracles, for deliverance. I didn't know anything about that. And all of a sudden, now, this day, I had to cry out to the Lord, but I didn't know how to cry out that day, Tom. You know, I wasn't in church here. I wasn't being taught here. I was in another church that just didn't teach me that. And I hadn't grown as a Christian from age 19 up until year 2000, which was about 25 years. And you can recall the story when the Israelites left Egypt. It was only a 3-day journey to the Promised Land. But what did they do? They complained. They didn't believe. And it took 40 years for them to enter into the land that the Lord had for us. Like many of you, like me, I could have entered into that relationship with the Lord earlier in my life, in all the glory, in all the love that the Lord could give me. I could have entered it earlier. But now I had this phone call, and Tom, I wasn't ready for battle. I didn't have the battle plan. I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know who to call to help me pray. I didn't know about healing. I didn't know about deliverance. Who was I going to call? And the next day, we took our son to the doctor, and it was devastating. It was the worst day of my life. I cried. I bawled. My wife cried. My other son, we were all in despair. We had fear. We had anxiety on us. And I can remember walking in the door after I saw the doctor the next day after all this terrible news. What are we going to do? And I was a doctor. I knew the battle we were up against. I knew the battle plan of the devil. I knew what he could do to us. And I knew it wasn't a good plan. It would end in something terrible if I didn't get help from our mighty God. And so I walked in the house, and my Bible was on the piano that day, Tom. And this is after being a Christian for 25 years. I grabbed that Bible and I lifted it up in the air and I said, Lord, if you're real, you have to heal my son. Because I accepted you as my Lord and Savior 25 years ago and I've walked with you, but I haven't entered into the fullness, the greatness that you have, Lord Father. And I said, today I'm going to run after you with everything I have, because I know in my flesh, I know in my mind as a doctor that this boy will not make it. They only gave him 3 weeks to live. And so I had to cry for God, but I had no one to stand with me. I wasn't locked in a good church like this one. I wasn't locked in a church that believed in healing and deliverance. Things were going to go over. And I needed to run after Jesus. All I had was the Word of God. But I would read it. But I didn't understand it. I had never seen a miracle. I had never seen a healing. I had never seen a deliverance. And I had to run after the Word. And I would just read day and night. You could ask my wife. I was up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I would try to get other messages from ministers that were believers that had seen miracles, just only to believe. Lord, are you real? Can you heal? Can you deliver my son out of this terrible situation? And I had no one to stand with. Can you believe that? Are some of you like that in this room? You have no one to stand with you, or you think you don't have anyone to stand with, but you do. And it's Jesus. But you have to get to know him. You have to walk with him. You have to love him. You have to eat the Word of God to get it in you, to build your faith so you can go through these situations. I tell people that are new Christians in my office, I said, if you come, you never know when the battle's going to come in your life. You never know when something's going to happen to you, your family, a friend, but you need to be ready for the battle. You need to be prepared in the Word, in fellowship, in prayer, in fasting, hanging with other Christians. This is our house of worship. This is where we worship. This is where we gather together. You're not going to be fed everything here. I'd like you to be. Tom would too. But you have to get in the Word yourself. You have to do other things. But this is where we grow as a body of believers together. We hang together. This is our nucleus. And I didn't have that. So I had to run and run and run. And I would knock on doors. Do you believe in healing? Oh, no, no, no. That's for way back then, Dr. Crandall. Well, I said, it doesn't say that in my Bible. It says you can be healed if the elders of the church pray for you. Tom prayed for us when we came later. I said, do you believe? And I would knock on all these doors in the neighborhood here. All the churches, many of them. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I need help. My son's dying. I need help in Jesus' name. I didn't know how to pray. I needed someone to tell me, to show me, to elevate my faith that healing can take place, that God is real. Because I'm a scientist. I'm from Yale, trained, did some training at Harvard, Duke, all over. Hey, I got great credentials. But when your son's dying, they don't help. And I tell people, be ready for the battle. Prepare. You need to be like a Green Beret, a Navy SEAL, Special Forces, a winning football team. You need to be in preparation every day, every day, every day, every day, because you never know when the battle's coming. But when the battle comes, are you prepared? Are you prepared to pray, fast, seek God? I didn't have all that. So I had to knock, 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 knock all over. And finally, I went to my wife. I said, no one believes. No one believes in healing. No one believes in deliverance. Oh, it was terrible, Tom. And then one day, a man of God from Mexico came up and he preached at a little school up here. He was a missionary out of Mexico. And that day, my wife said, you go and hear this man of God. He might know. We didn't even know about Christ Fellowship at that point. And so I went up and I heard that man, and everything he preached was true. It was in this Bible. And he talked about miracles, and it elevated my faith. I needed my faith elevated to fight the battle. I needed it. Because I knew we had no chance. So he prayed that night for me. It was unbelievable. I changed. Something happened. I'd already been a Christian, but he prayed. And when he prayed, boldness came on me. The boldness of Christ. The boldness of a believer that stands in authority and prays and delivers the word of God, and things happen in Jesus' name. It's not by my might, but it's by the name of Jesus. It's by the mighty Holy Spirit. And he prayed, and I had boldness. I finally had a little boldness to believe in the miraculous. 3 weeks went by. I called him up. I said, listen, David, if your Jesus is that real, I want more of it. I need it. I need it in my life. I need it to save my son. Is your Jesus that real that you were preaching about? He said he is. I said, do miracles happen? He said, yes, they do. I said, I need it. I need to elevate my faith to pray for my son. Christian, 25 years. Didn't have a lot of faith, did I? So he said, if you want to believe, if you want to see the works of God, you fly down to Mexico and you hang with us for 2 weeks. So Dr. Crandall from Palm Beach in his blue blazer and khaki pants gets on the plane and flies to Mexico. And I land in Tampico, Mexico, and guess what? All they had there was a pickup truck with two missionaries in the front seat. They were only there to pick me up. But the front of the pickup truck was full. So Dr. Crandall had to get in with his blue blazer tie and khaki pants, and I had to sit in the back of the pickup truck like some of the people you see going down the highway. And it took 3 hours to go up in the mountains. And we went up in the mountains, and we didn't arrive there till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we arrived at the house, and all the lights were on in the house. And the man of God, the minister there, the missionary, his name was Greg, his whole family were up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought, this is crazy. Why are they up? And I asked him, I said, Greg, why are your family up? He said, Dr. Crandall, every day we go out, there's a day one of us on occasion never comes back. And out of honor for me, the man of God in the house, my family greets me every time I come home. See, he said, we've lost 11 missionaries proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I said, oh man, I've never met anybody like this. He said, I know why you're here. If you get up tomorrow morning, you're going to meet the Jesus you've never met. So I got up the next morning, and we went from village to village. And what happened? Miracles started happening. They'd bring someone in a wheelbarrow that couldn't walk. And then all of a sudden the glory of God would fall, and they would pray in the name of Jesus, and that little person would get out of that wheelbarrow and they would walk. I mean, it gave me chills seeing that. I couldn't believe it. I thought they were faking me out. Then a blind person would come in and they'd pray for the blind. And then that person could see. Everything that you read in the Bible, the deaf could hear, the blind could see, the lame could walk. People with cancers would be prayed for and they would disappear. People that were dead would be prayed for and they were brought back. I didn't see that, but I heard about it. And so for 2 weeks, my faith was built up. The Lord was using this experience to bring me back home full of faith and believing in the mighty power of our great God, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. So I came back and I greeted my wife at the door and I said, I don't know the words exactly, but I believe I said, we will make it. Our God is real. Can you believe it? Our God is real. Hallelujah. He is real, isn't he? And I don't want to dominate all this, Tom, but I came back that day and I was changed. I had faith to believe, finally, that miracles were happening. And I needed to be around other people, other believers. And I would run everywhere. I would run to see the move of God, to believe. And then I would start praying for my son. And then things would happen. He'd have a tumor. We'd pray. It would disappear. In the name of Jesus. It wasn't me. It wasn't treatment. It would disappear. He had issues with fear. We prayed over fear and it left. Can you believe it? Fear left because of the name of Jesus. There were some scary things going on. We went through a deliverance and they left. It was a battle. Let me tell you, it was not easy. No battle is easy. But Jesus is the way. He is the love. He is the truth. He is our Savior. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. And every day I would run. Did I have low days? Yes, I did. And we battled that thing for 4 years. They gave him 3 months. And then at the end of 4 years, something, a zinger came out of the past, or came out. And he got very sick. And he didn't make it. He didn't make it. He made it to Jesus. He's with our mighty God, right? Okay. But let me tell you about that. That battle, because we don't know what the eternal significance of what I went through represents, okay? Or what my family went through. We are radical for Jesus. We're radical believers. We believe in the Word, and when we preach it, we believe it, and when we say it, we expect action, because we have the faith of the kingdom of God on our shoulders to back it up. But when that boy was taking his last breath, Chad, precious boy, blue eyes, blonde hair, beautiful. Tom knew him. Yes. He was wonderful. He was everything any father or mother would ever want to have. He was everything. He was the best of the best. And the Lord has him. But that last day, when he took his last breath, I had to make a decision because, you know, I've been running after this battle for 4 years. I was proclaiming the name of Jesus on every hilltop. I was seeing miracles happen left and right. And when that boy took his last breath and we were holding him in his arms, our arms, it was a wonderful day. I didn't expect it because I believed he would be healed. Even as sick as he was, I still believed. And when he didn't make it, I believed he'd be raised from the dead. And I prayed for him for 2 hours. And the Lord said, well, hey, I've got him. I'm keeping him. Okay? But you know, what happened was that day I held them in my arms and I prayed. And I was awfully upset. I said, Lord, I prayed, I've asked, I've done everything I can to see this boy healed. And now I'm awfully upset. I'm mad. Some of your situations, you're upset. It didn't go the way you wanted. You're upset. You're mad. Some of you turn away from the Lord. Maybe not tonight in this crowd. And I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Lord, I am upset. I believe in you. I know you can heal this boy. I know he can live. I know you can raise him from the dead if you want, but you didn't do it. So now I have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to run from you, Lord? Because I'm awfully upset and I can do that. Am I going to turn from you because it didn't work out the way I wanted it to? Or am I going to turn to you? What decision do you think I made? I'm here today, right?
That's right.
Man. I made a decision.
That's right.
Hear this. And this is the decision everyone should be making in this room. I said, left, I run from you. Deny you, Lord. Deny all your greatness. Deny your miracles. Deny your love. I run from you, Lord, because it didn't work out, because I'm upset. Or I go the other direction and say, Lord, Father, I'm running to you because I've seen too much. I've seen your greatness. I've seen your miracles. I've seen your love. And I said, Lord, I'm running to you. I'm running to you with everything I have. But I said, here's the deal. I guess we can make deals with the Lord, can't we, Tom?
I'll talk to you about that
okay.
One.
Well, this is what
as
I
did. As long as your deal's a full commitment.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's a full commitment. I said, Lord, if I run to you, I want 1 million souls for your kingdom. I want 1 million souls for your kingdom, Lord. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant the seed of my son, because he was really a martyr. I'm going to plant this seed for a mighty harvest of souls. That's what I want, Lord. Because I know if I run to you, that's where all my joy is coming from. That's where all my peace is coming from. That's where everything is coming from, Lord. Because if I run from you, I'm not going to make it. So I'm running to you. And you know what happened after I did that? Peace came on me. Peace. A peace that you never get when you're holding a son who's just passed away. Peace came on my wife and on my other son. Peace came on us. I've been hurt as hard as I can be hurt. I can't be hurt any harder than I've been hurt. I've been destroyed as bad as I can be destroyed, losing that boy. But guess what? God is healing me, okay? And the Lord, when I proclaim the name of Jesus, I don't care what anyone else thinks anymore. I don't care. If you don't go after Jesus, you're going to be unhappy. And if you don't know the Lord, you're going to hell. Plain and simple, you're going. But what happened with that, Tom? After all that experience, we started preaching, started getting active with the Lord, but I started preaching with determination, with boldness, with faith, with belief, and the Lord has showed us many, many miracles. You say, well, Dr. Crandall, you prayed for your son, and he didn't get well. No, he got well. He's with the Lord. The Lord wanted him then, and he went home. Okay, that's not going to stop me from praying for you and you and you and you and you, because I have faith. I've seen the miraculous. I've seen tumors disappear. I've seen the dead raised up in Jesus' name.
Tell us about the Gardens Hospital. Was it Gardens Hospital?
Yeah, it was Gardens. And let me tell you, because we're probably running out of time.
No, that's okay. Right. I want to tell the story.
Let me tell you. You know,
yeah,
I've got time. Okay, sure. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, because I could talk all night, you know. And I don't know what position he played, but were you offense or defense, Tom?
I actually played both ways.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So
okay.
I can run the ball or tackle
you. Can
you.
Get
either
me.
One
okay.
You want, man.
Okay.
So.
But you know, middle linebackers, we're loud and we like to control things. So with us up here, this is tough, but with me anyway. But let me tell you about this miracle. Because, you know, since year 2000, it hasn't been that long, has it? Okay. But I got radically on fire for the Lord in 2000. And we've prayed and we travel and we go all over the place and we do wonderful things for Jesus in the name of Jesus. But one day at the hospital, it was a day early in the morning, 7 o'clock. I had many cases that day and it was just a bad day for me. It was a busy day. It was a grueling day. We had lots of surgery going on. And then early one morning, about 7:30, I got called overhead at the hospital to go to the emergency room. And it wasn't a day I wanted to go to the emergency room, because every time you get called to the emergency room, it's a bad deal. And I didn't want to go. But what happens as you go? It says in Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. As you go, the kingdom of heaven follows you, right? Does it matter how you feel that day? No, it doesn't matter. But the kingdom goes. And if you have the Holy Spirit on you and you have Christ in you, you got that little flame of fire over your head, right? Little flame is following you. So wherever you go, that flame isn't out. It's always with you, okay? So I'm going down the hall and I get that stat call to go to the emergency room. I didn't want to go. I'm telling you the truth. I did not want to go. But then I started feeling bad, so I went. Okay? It wasn't a God day. I didn't feel holy. I didn't feel anything special that day. So I went down to the emergency room, and I walked in, and there was a man who had a massive heart attack, and they had been working on this man for over 30 minutes, okay? And he was dead. There was no life in that man. His face was black. His hands were black. His feet were black. I was overwhelmed at how bad the death was on this man. They had every doctor, every nurse working on him. And the doctor that was running the case came out and said, what do you think we can do? And I said, listen, that man's dead. There is nothing you can do, because I wanted to get out of there. I'm going to be honest. I wanted out of that area. Because when someone dies, it is bad, nasty. You've got to talk to the family. It's a whole drama situation. And I wanted to leave. But he was really dead. He was dead, dead, beyond dead. And I said, Tom, to that doctor, I said, just end it. There's nothing more we can do. He said, okay, I agree with you. We've done it all. We've done everything. Let's call the code. That means end it. They were ending everything they could do to bring this man back. And so they all left the room, and one nurse was there, and she was preparing the body for the morgue, Tom, and taking the IVs out and sponging the body down to take down to the morgue. And I left, and I was leaving the room. Everyone else was gone, and I hit the doorway, and all of a sudden I heard a voice. Like many of you, you know, if we don't hear the voice of the Lord, we miss things, right? And I heard this voice, turn around and pray for that man. What would you do? He was dead. What would you do? How many, raise your hands, how many would pray for that man? Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I've heard the voice of the Lord before, and I've denied it sometimes. Yeah. And I'm ashamed to say that I have.
True, we all have.
I've missed it. But this time it was clear. It was a soft voice, but it was, turn around and pray for that man. And I want to tell you, what makes this so miraculous is I didn't want to pray for that guy. I didn't even want to be there. But I did turn around, and I walked to the side of the stretcher where there was no life in that body. The body was being unhooked, prepared for the morgue, and I didn't know what to say, and I stood next to that body, like many of you. We don't know what to say sometimes, but if you go, what happens? The kingdom of heaven follows you, right? As you go, the kingdom of heaven is coming with you. The light of God, the fire is coming with you wherever you go. And I stood next to that man, and I didn't know what to say, Tom. I didn't know. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said it for me, I guess. And these were the words. These were the exact words. Father God, I cry out for this man's soul. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now. Now, what do you think that nurse thought about the other side of that body? Well, she thought I was crazy. Now, I will admit, I didn't boldly speak it out and shout it, but I did say it. And all of a sudden, I had no power over this right arm. This right arm went up, and the other doctor walked in the room, and I pointed to him, and I said, shock this man one more time. He said, Dr. Crandall, that man's dead. We've shocked him dozens of times. There's nothing we can do. He's gone. I said, for me, shock him one more time. Kind of brings a little reality into it because we had to shock him, but he had been dead. He was on his way to the morgue. What is a shock going to do? So the doctor, out of kindness, boom! And all of a sudden, on that monitor, a perfect heartbeat came back. Perfect. I was stunned. Okay. Well, that's not it. Okay. I just kept looking at the monitor thinking, what have I done? You know, what are we going to do now? And then all of a sudden, I looked down at his stomach, and his stomach was moving up and down. And then all of a sudden, those black fingers, as black as this Bible, were wiggling. And those toes started wiggling. And then all of a sudden, he started mumbling words. And the nurse screamed, what are we going to do with them, Dr. Crandall? Well, what would you do? You couldn't cover him up.
Oh, I wish I had been at the hospital.
Yeah, you couldn't have covered him up. Right. Couldn't have covered him up. Well, let me tell you what happened. Because, you know, this, Tom wants you to know that miracles happen. This is extreme. You don't see it that often. I've seen it a couple times, but it is extreme. But this is how great God is, yes. Right? And so she said, what are you going to do? And I said, let's get going. Let's get him down to the intensive care unit. We got him down, and 3 days later, he woke up. And I signed him out to my partner. That was a Friday night. I signed him out to my partner that night, Tom. And I said, Gabe, this man has been raised from the dead. You cannot hurt him. You can do whatever you want to him. God has got a call on his life. So I sign him out to you. A dead man raised up in Jesus' name. That's exactly what I said. So, came back Monday. He's sitting up in bed. The nurse came running out of the room. She said, Dr. Crandall, I'm so upset with you. I'm so upset with you. I'm so upset with you. I said, what are you upset about? She said, you prayed for that man. I was convinced he was going to be brain dead. But now look at him. He's sitting up in bed talking. It was a miracle. I couldn't believe it. So I went in and I talked to him. And his name is Jeff. And I said, Jeff, what happened to you? Where were you? And he said, I was in a very dark room. And he said, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. Jeff, what were you disappointed about? He said, my friends didn't come to visit me. My family didn't come to visit me. He said, I was in a casket in a black room, total blackness, all alone. Family didn't come. Friends didn't come. Colleagues didn't come. No one came to visit me. Said, after being there hours and hours, Tom, he said, they just wrapped me up and they threw me in the trash. I said, Jeff, you never have to go in the trash again. I said, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll never have to go in the trash ever again. And right there in that room, I witnessed to him, told him about our Lord, and with tears running down his eyes, he accepted Christ as his Savior right there in the hospital room. Can you believe it? Right there in the room.
Okay. Let's get camera one to come right across the room because right. Jeff is here tonight.
Right.
Jeff,
you want to meet Jeff,
would you stand? Stand up, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
This is the man that God brought up from the dead right here, Jeff.
We serve a mighty God, don't we?
I want you to get on Jeff. Not
enough. Hallelujah.
There's Jeff. There he is right there. Praise God.
He's a celebrity now.
You know what, doctor?
Yes.
That's why I go to you.